CliffCentral.com.
Yes, you made it to Thursday. Congratulate yourself. Give yourself a big pat on the back. Yes. My sister watches those disgusting videos. It's called Dr. Pimple Popper or whatever it is. Oh, my God. No, some people like that stuff. They don't. It's so gross. I can't even. Like right now, I'm choking up a little bit. I can't speak about watching them. I won't. There's no way I'll watch them. But I can't even speak about watching them. Some people are addicted to that stuff.
Why is it on your mind so early in the morning?
I don't know, but it just came up. I just thought of it now. Because there was something. Oh, yes. It came up on Instagram. You know, when you're going through your feed. And it wasn't like a Dr. Pimple Popper, but it was like a someone pulling some kind of a cyst out of something. And I was. It's almost like they want you to subscribe to their channel to see the whole thing, but I was like, get right past, you know. Yeah. No, it's revolting. Anyway, some people
are... To each their own.
Well, within reason. I mean, like...
Well, I found myself, just spending way longer than I thought I would watching a channel devoted to a various chiropractors.
Oh, yeah, but they
working
kick people.
On people. Oh, but that's satisfying. And I know some pimple people find that satisfying. Yeah, so
I just don't, unless I'm the person getting massaged or sorted out by the chiropractor, I'm not really into it. I'm not into other people's happiness unless it involves me. All right. Good morning, Pinky. Good morning, Bulelo. Good morning, Sia. Good morning to you. And well done for waking up and getting things going this morning. So much to get into. Pinky's been going to gym.
Mm.
And she's been going with her fiancé. And this is interesting because, again, this is something guys don't think about. Mm-hmm. She says, actually, this is the first time that she feels completely safe at the gym.
Mm-hmm. So...
Oh.
Oh, man.
It just shows you how many women must go to the gym every day. And
yeah.
It's you're constantly looking around you to make sure that, you know, you're okay and that there aren't some creepy guys hanging around looking at you, leering at you, making you uncomfortable, trying to make a move.
Mm-hmm.
So
weird. I never thought of it like that.
No, it's so horrible.
I haven't gone to gym. I mean, I can count the number of times I've gone to gym and... Each time from living in Bloem, living in Joburg, I've never been completely comfortable because there's always somebody trying to talk to you, somebody trying to help you with this, you know, or even just looking and already you feel uncomfortable, like, oh, now I can't go to that next gym equipment because this guy's been looking, or, you know, like you go home sooner than expected or you don't really do what you want to do.
Well, first of all, let me not be serious and say, you know what, Pinky, not everyone is looking at you. You're so fucking self-absorbed.
Ooh, damn.
Actually, Gareth.
No, but second of all, I won't make excuses for all the dumb guys in the world who just can't behave themselves.
Mm.
There are lots of those. So what would they do? They'd look at you?
Look, they'd look at you, some would come to you and be like, oh, let me help you with this. No. Or, you know, like, there's always some sort of interference. And, you know, like, gym is one of those places where you're really vulnerable. You're trying to, like, create the best version of yourself. You're not sure about what you're wearing or you feel like maybe you're
no
makeup on.
What do you wear to the gym?
You have no wig on.
What do you wear to the gym?
Sorry, Gareth?
What do you wear when you're at the gym?
So I like wearing shorts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like wearing shorts, and man, I don't even have a butt, you know, like I don't have much of a butt, but still, there will be that one guy that will still be like looking, or there's always a guy.
Look, on behalf of men, you know, and I hate doing this because I don't think I have any mandate from the rest of the men. I don't even have mandate from the rest of the men on
mandate.
The show. But we can't help it. I'm not making an excuse. We can't help looking. Where it gets horrible is if you're glaring, if you're glaring at someone, you're leering at them, you're looking at them, you're making them uncomfortable, that's obviously wrong. And then there's no need for you to interfere with their training. They don't need your help. Thank you very much. For all you know, they might know more than you do. But guys are always looking to meet a beautiful woman. So that's going to happen your whole life long. I'm sorry to break it to you, but even when you're married one day, even if you become fat and tremendously ugly, Pinky, which is unlikely to happen, men are still going to look at you because we're just by nature designed to keep an eye out for possible occasions for breeding. That's how our whole system is figured. How men behave, though, and you can mitigate that, and this is why it's unacceptable for men to behave in a certain way that makes women uncomfortable. You mitigate that by bringing a little bit of sense into the situation. You can't just, because you're attracted to someone, look at them the whole time. It's extremely creepy. And
exactly.
I know I've had that happen to me, you know, where it's sometimes guys looking at you if you're a guy, and you're like, you know, thank you very much. It's nice to have the compliment, but no.
That ain't no problem for me.
Yeah, Sia actually goes to those machines. You know the ones where you open and close your legs? That's Sia's favorite place to pick up people at the gym. That's where he goes.
And boy, do I wear shorts and crop tops myself.
You see? This is the problem. You want to see how men would be in a world without women? Just look at how they are are there gay gyms? I suppose there might be.
You know, there should be. Remember, like, there was that is Curve still around? I don't even know if it's a thing.
They have
only women's gyms for this reason, so that the women can get on with it and do their exercise and talk to each other and, you know, they don't have to feel uncomfortable. Yeah. But there should really be a gay gym.
Never mind. You know what? It requires more thought, because I thought, like, what would it be called? I swear this is what happened in the past 7 seconds in my mind. So I thought, something to do with... Well, I thought sweat and then like fabulous or sass, but then I thought sweat plus sass is swass, and that's not cute. No, sweaty ass is not. No.
No.
I'll put some more thought. Never mind.
Well, you see, this is also part of the reason. Like, I used to absolutely hate gym, but then I realized that there was equipment they had there that I didn't have anywhere else and that I needed to use their facilities. And the problem with gym is it's a horrible place, frankly. And I'm not saying this to knock any particular brand. It's a horrible place because you go there, you're not there to look great. You're there to end up looking great one day. You're there to keep yourself in shape. Most of the time, you're not there to socialize either. I go in, I put in earphones, and I do my thing, and I get out as quickly as I can. It's not fun to hang around in the gym for some people. It is, and that's fine. You're allowed to do that. And then, you know, it's just a place where people are sweaty. They're not at their best. Usually it's full because most people have to go at peak times because that's the only time they're not working. And I went to just check it out. I had some time to kill. I think it was this week or last week. I went to just check it out to see what the rules are and everything else. Now, I'm not training with a mask. I'm sorry. So there's no way I'm going back yet. I'll get back eventually, so I'm not going to cancel my membership, because try as you may. And Bulelo, you can probably help me out with this, but there are some things that are a whole lot easier to do. There are some muscle groups it's easier to work with when you have the right equipment. And if you have no equipment at all, as I pretty much do, you have to make a plan. And eventually things like, you know, doing your back, it's really hard. So you eventually want to go back to the gym so that you can do those things more effectively and you can focus in on the things that you need to work on. But I'm not in a hurry to get back there, I have to tell you. And Pinky, I totally understand your situation. Now that you're there with your fiancé, you feel great because you do your thing, you're there with him, everything's looked after.
And the gym is in the complex, so it's less people, unlike if I was to go to the gym that I used to go to. So that's the other plus side.
Yeah. Is he paying a gym membership?
No. So it's for all the residents.
Oh, right. It's in the complex.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Imabulaleo.
It's actually more dangerous to train with poor equipment because 99% of the society, as we can see, are not active enough and fit enough to be doing this stuff. And so the less you gym, the worse shape you're in, the more important your form and things like that are. So it becomes way more important, actually, for
injuries,
most of the
right?
Oh, no, it's a night, especially things like back, knees. The problem with those is when you screw those up, you only have one. Yeah, if you operate on your back, trust me, you're in trouble for the rest of your life. So these things are important. And people that gym by themselves, I worry about them, because people get themselves in trouble. Most people gym for aesthetics, and they get in big trouble. By the time you're 40, you look at most of the meatheads you see around now, most of them are going to have serious back problems, because they overdevelop in certain regions, their form's off. So what tends to happen is, hey, I want a bigger chest, but, and then instead
chest
of lifting with
biceps,
I want to get dax, my boy, is that guys tend to lift with their back, shoulders, instead of, engaging the whole core, and it's a whole nightmare. And the equipment thing, you got to have the right equipment. And ideally, if you can afford it, especially early on, get a trainer.
Well, yeah, I mean, I wondered why you were being so quiet there, but you were obviously preparing that very sensible answer. You often, again, I don't want to talk about fitness all morning, because who cares, really? I mean, like, everybody's on their own. Everyone's on their own journey. I just feel like it's kind of sad that Pinky's only feeling safe now at this age, and because she's going to train with her partner. I find it just a little bit disappointing that that's how I'm sure many women feel about going into any public space. You know, I've spoken to friends of mine, and I only realized this 3 or 4 years ago too, is that a lot of women going to their car at night are shit scared, terrified. They're looking around the whole time. They always ask someone to go with them if they can. You know, guys, we don't even think about that. I walk to my car after dinner or whatever. You know, I'm talking pre-lockdown, obviously. And I'm not concerned. Like, I'll be fine. And, if 3 or 4 guys jump out of the bushes, I'm in shit. But otherwise, I'll be all right. It's so weird.
It's a really interesting point. My sister studied in the Ivory Coast. And one of the things she always does, she loves West Africa. And she always sends me videos of her walking at night, and she cherishes those moments, because in South Africa, like after 6, she's out. And for me,
it's even before 6.
Yeah, for me, walk home from the studio at 1 in the morning sometimes, 11 at night. And, you know, as you said, I never ever think about it. So, different world.
All right. So, Bulelo. This is an interesting question that you have posed out of nowhere. You said, how long is it until you're officially dating? You had a ridiculous conversation with a friend of yours over the weekend. Explain this to us, and then I've got to read an email that someone sent about you.
Okay. All right. So we're watching the football. I mean, Premier League's back. And this guy made up this elaborate story about 2 weeks ago to his girlfriend, because he changed plans with her.
Yeah.
And when we confronted him, because he didn't tell everybody else that he'd cancelled plans with her, he just
said... All right, so let's be clear. This is not some girl that you met.
Oh, no, no, no.
Still you aren't asking for...
Still strictly
asking
celibate.
For a friend in inverted commas.
No, but this lunacy of, when you put people in your lives, I've addressed this before, but in this case, is when we confronted the guy, it's like, dude, you didn't say you'd cancelled your plans with your girlfriend to come and have drinks with guys. I mean, so his immediate response to a girl he's been dating for 9 months or been with for 9 months is, oh, I see my girlfriend all the time. She must relax, when she confronted him about this. So I thought to myself, in his mind, they've been dating for 9 months. To him, seeing her on the weekend, like once or twice a weekend, is all the time for him. So I was wondering, is it 6 months where you're officially dating and now you don't change plans with people? Do people have these timelines? Because
no,
lady says I'm the perennial bachelor, so I don't know these things.
I don't. Well, it's not that complicated. Like either you're in a relationship or you're not. You know that, and she knows that, and there's nothing else to be discussed. Come on.
Well,
you have to wait for 6 months? It's like what kind of there's that treatment that they give you. For your internal organs, or if you're doing certain kinds of training, and then it takes 6 months to kick in. It's not like that.
I don't know. This is where we saw a clear disparity. At 9 months, she thinks our plans, we can't change it. And to him, it's like, hey, if I want to go drink with the boys, see you later. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah. You're either dating or you're not. This is not hard. I don't know why there's a time frame set on this. You can sometimes be dating someone after the first date you have.
Surely, like two seconds of meeting them in the club.
Yeah, surely that's like, yeah. I mean, that might be the beginning. If you both decide, hey, let's try this.
That's the ticket. If you both decide
it can't be from one side. Otherwise, you're one of those weird freaks who thinks you're dating someone and they don't even know it.
But that's what I'm saying. 9 months later, this guy still considers seeing her once a week as all the time, in his words. Yeah. To use his words verbatim, I don't know what this chick's problem is. I see her all the time.
If that's how your friends sound, you need different friends.
No, he literally sounds like that, and it was far too much for me. So I was wondering.
In his perspective, he's probably in a situationship. That doesn't sound like a relationship.
That's what I said to him, but he didn't like that.
Well, it doesn't have to be. It doesn't have to be a situation where you give up your friends for your girlfriend or you give your girlfriend up for your friends. I mean, surely you should be able to live and do both, and there should be there shouldn't be a tussle over who gets most of your time. I mean, who are you? You're the most popular person in the whole world that you can't share a little bit of your time with.
Whoa. Let me just correct you there. We all know somebody with that girlfriend, by the way. Let's not pretend we all know somebody where you're not seeing your friends. No. Let's not say that. We know the nightmare girlfriends exist. The nightmare boyfriends exist. They are out there and they are real. I know lots of them. They are real. So sharing your boyfriend and girlfriend, not a thing, Gareth, by the way. People are nuts out there.
You mean people will not mix their girlfriend with their friends?
Or no. Where are you? Come home. No, you're not going to those guys. You guys are always watching soccer together. I don't want so-and-so.
Mbulele, you sound so scarred.
Oh, because I just...
All right, so here's an email that we got about Mbulele. This is very interesting. People have been listening to you for a while now.
Oh, let's hear it.
All right, so this guy says... where is it? I'm just going to find the damn thing. This is really weird. Some people have been paying extra careful attention to you. Basically. Here we go.
Is it the one I... Yo-yo.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find the right one here because there's so many emails about... here we go. This is from Yo-Yo. Yo-Yo says, I'm a long-time listener of the show. I have to say, when Mbulele is on, I get so distracted by his peculiar personality. I wonder if he's the same off-air. I'm not a psychologist by any stretch of the imagination, but human behavior has always intrigued me. At times, I wonder if certain aspects of Mbulele's personality are authentic or cultivated or simply some kind of defense mechanism he cultivated as a result of some trauma, some of which he spoke about in your absence when he and Damon carried out the rest of the show. That was when you spoke about like being the black friend among all the white kids, remember?
Yeah.
Sometimes he says things that are so jarring that they make me seriously wonder about him. Could he have a touch of Asperger's or be on the autism spectrum? That is not meant in any way to be insulting. Some of the most brilliant minds, like one of my university professors and even Mozart, are believed to have had this condition. I'm curious to hear your and Sia's thoughts on this. So, Sia, you go right up. It's your turn, and then we'll let Mbulele address the question.
I'm no deputy Dr. Phil, so I don't really know.
You're going to pass?
Yeah, because we're all a result and a combination of who we are at our foundation and how experiences have shaped us. It's very obvious that in his case, I think some relationship connection stuff happened, and that's the way you are. So that's all.
Pinky, do you want to weigh in on this quickly? You've observed Mbulele for some time. You want to have a comment on this?
No, thank you.
Okay. So both Sia and Pinky have demurred on this. So, all right. Mbulele, what do you think of that email?
I think it's fair. I don't know how I come across, but I see myself as rather closed off. So that can be difficult for people if you don't know me. I am emotionally repressed. I know that very well. See? And, you know, I am what I am. I'm an individualist who, ideally, everybody at arm's length. Thank you very much.
And then I don't think someone who has something that needs to be treated or assisted with would be that emotionally aware. Whether you identify that you are emotionally repressed yourself or you sought help, someone who needs further help is not even aware of what they're doing or their patterns of behavior.
Here's the interesting part of that email is that maybe you are somewhere on that that spectrum, because autism in its various forms, from the most severe cases where people are like Rain Man and they're mumbling to themselves the whole time and they cannot socialize whatsoever with anyone else. A lot of those people, very, very high IQs and very, very smart people, but they're just inept in any situation where they have to deal with us normal people. And then at the soft end of that, you get people who are just a little bit eccentric. You know, and you're certainly a bit eccentric. And eccentric, I like it. I think it's a compliment when people call
No, me. But he's not about to jump off the roof.
No, but eccentric is not at all like that. Eccentric means you're just a little quirky. You got things in your personality that are very different to the rest of humankind. You don't conform. You kind of you go your own way. You beat your own path. You don't really care what other people think. And that does make you slightly less agreeable socially, which I think.
Do you think that's you, Mbolelo, so far?
So I would say where I separate from 99% of people and why I'm probably more individualist than, hey guys, let's all get along, is my natural base isn't, from my observation, is my natural base isn't, oh, what do you guys think of my behavior? I have no interest in what people are feeling about me. I just care whether I'm being what I want to be. So most people, most of us are conditioned to try and please and appease those around us to some extent, whereas my emotional repression comes with a level of, I'm doing what I'm doing, let's get on with it, and I'm not looking for affirmation. So I think that doesn't sit well with most people, where most people are, hey, how are you feeling about what I'm doing? Hmm. How does it make you feel? Whereas I'm not that way inclined, and that's very much from my father's side. And my mother's the complete opposite.
Show me on this doll that I'm holding where they hurt you.
I'd love to. And you always cite your parents or your family in how you are. I have to commend you then to find if your sister's.
My sister has the opposite mix. My sister is extremely about the team, a lot more emotional intelligence. My sister cultivates environments for everybody to succeed. So my sister, we're very, very different. She's very consistent, very caring, very emotionally intelligent, and to be quite frank, extremely, extremely disciplined in whatever she does. We're very different, whereas I'm probably more the other way. I'll do what I do, whatever I want to do.
Who's older? Who's younger and who's older?
I'm older. Okay. She's 4 years younger than me. Right. But
well, I bet you didn't join the show this morning thinking we would be psychoanalyzing you.
I did not, but I feel quite comfortable with having spent a lot of time thinking about such things.
I love the way that people who listen to this show, not everybody, but some of the people get so involved that they have these theories about us, and I find it really entertaining.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it's good. Well, listen, thanks for the compliment. I mean, if you're prepared to send an email like Yo-Yo did just now about what, you think it's funny, or was that a sneeze?
It was a sneeze. I didn't get to the mute button in time. Sorry.
All right. Well, here's a different sort of take on you, Mbolelo. And this just came in from Natalie. She says, I don't get this obsession people have with Mbolelo. He's intelligent and interesting, just doing his thing. I love it when he's on the show. Aren't we all just a little bit fed up with people's judgment and enforcement of the idea of normal? It's nonsense, I tell you, Natalie. So she's very firmly into you just being you.
And, you know, I've always thought in life, for me, the type of people that I'm attracted to, if everybody likes or hates you, it's generally manufactured. So for me, you want to be somewhere in the middle, because it means you've got...
Right, where people are apathetic?
No, definitely not. I know, apathetic, get the hell out my face, is what I like is have an opinion. stand for something.
Mashi says, Mbulelo is definitely eccentric. He always feels a need to brag, and I agree his IQ is high. Basically, he's a douche only half the time. So that's exactly what you're saying.
100%. Yeah, no, I'm not going to apologize for what I've done. And, you know,
I don't think you're douchey. And I'm not just saying that to appease.
You're alone there. But a lot of people do, but it's okay.
Riet in Cape Town has weighed in. She says, I never thought I would identify with someone like Mbulelo. I'm so much like him. Just do what you do, dude. You're awesome. Love the zero bullshit.
I still think the douchiest thing you've done was taking Jane's Coke, because your reaction, I'm still stunned today.
Oh.
That was very wrong.
I think you said something like, I'm not sorry, something along those lines. Sorry for drinking it or for taking it. And I was like,
zero apology. Very low EQ, this guy.
You have it on video.
I had forgotten that, yes.
Yeah, you see, to me in that sense, like, I can buy another Coke, like, relax.
And you were not moved by the tension in the room because everyone was stunned. Nor were you moved by Jane going to like the top floor of emotions either.
That is a sign of not really being connected to the. I get like that sometimes. I'll say something and people, you know, I'll walk out of the room and they'll go, could he say that? So Mbulelo and I have that in common because we don't particularly give a shit what other people think.
And let me just clarify or understand. If you walk out of a room in a moment like that, you have completely shaken that incident off. You don't think about it. You don't question it.
We leave the room like we would have left the room at the end of a meeting or because we needed to pee. It's not, we don't leave any things behind, and we don't walk out triumphant, and we don't walk out dejected, and we don't walk out with anything else attached. You just, am I right, Mbulelo? You just walk out.
You know, for me, if the only time I'm perturbed by my actions is if there was intended malice. So this is a good example. If I had drank the Coke, there's a little bit of a story behind why I felt at liberty to drink that Coke. I didn't just take it. But in general, if I had been had malice towards something, I'd have a problem with myself. I don't need anybody. I was raised fine. My mom raised a relatively moral person. I'm my own biggest critic. I don't need people to come and, oh, my God, I can't believe it.
In other words, you've already thought about the consequences and you're happy to take them on.
100%. Okay. In fact, this is my problem with a lot of people and why we don't get along.
And you and Jane are exact opposites because Jane, everything is an emotional reaction. Everything is very much about her feelings. You are completely cerebral about this. You've thought it through. You're prepared to accept the consequences. You know she's going to go completely fucking off the reserve. You don't care.
Don't care how you feel. Don't care how you feel. What's true? Number one, that's really important, is what's absolutely true. And we can get to that. We can always get to what's true. Number one. So that's a problem for most people.
You see, this is already with your first point is where a dynamic becomes hard.
I don't want to.
Because what's true for me is also different to what's true for you.
Yeah, but you don't have your truth. There's the truth.
No.
I mean, for example, gravity or optics or physics don't give two shits what your truth or your feelings are. And that is also true in the case of human interactions with a little bit of nuance because essentially, a Coke was drunk.
Yeah.
It belonged to someone. Yeah. The feelings that come out of that situation are based on those facts, which are incontrovertible. And your feelings are then manageable by you and not anyone else's responsibility in Mbulelo's mind.
In Jane's mind,
this is a symbol of your overall respect for me. And whether or not you care about me and you think you're better than me and all kinds of other shit that's completely unrelated. And I'm not a good adjudicator in this respect either.
So my quick point is by mentioning the word true is what aspects of the situation are we looking at? You look at the numbers, the facts, the way it is. Else Jay or myself would look at the truth is you've hurt my feelings.
Yeah, you see, so what?
Which is okay.
By the way,
No. This is an important point.
We're not going to get to the bottom of this.
No. I think this is a really important point in the time we're living in. You are not entitled to not have your feelings hurt. That doesn't. Yeah. We must never confuse. Uh-huh. We must never confuse these two things. And people are in this trap across the board. I'm offended, so I'm right. No.
Just, the same way numbers are important.
Hold on. Say that line again, because I think this is something that nobody says anymore. But it's mm-hmm. This is true. This is true with you. You are not entitled to not have your feelings hurt. Someone,
absolutely not.
Somewhere in the world is at some point in your life, and probably more than once, going to hurt your feelings. There is no protection. There's no Harry Potter blanket you could put over yourself and avoid the consequences of something like that.
That is not an inalienable right. Yeah. It is not an inalienable right to not have your feelings hurt, number one, right? Mm-hmm. And it doesn't. And then going from there is, I'm offended, so I'm right. I can't work.
No. It's not about who's right or who's wrong. For me, it's never even about an apology. It's about identify what you did.
Yeah. Yes.
No, absolutely. And for me, here's the other side.
Oh, Lord, why am I getting worked up? I want us to
get into this, but we do have to do headlines quickly. Just this comment from Jenny. She says, clearly Mombololo has moved around a lot and has had to adapt.
Absolutely.
Mombololo.
Mombololo.
It's unbelievable.
All right, so... Let's do the headlines, because otherwise we could be stuck in this all the time. But you do get different kinds of people, right? We know about this. We've all done these personality tests. Sia and Jane are on one end of the spectrum. Bulelo and I are on another. And Pinky's a whole different creature, but that's why she's been so quiet, because she's been analyzing the situation before she says anything. All right, let's look at a few stories. So first of all, the president was on last night, and we haven't really spoken about this because it was more or less what was expected and anticipated anyway. So let me give you the definition of what happened here from one of our listeners, and usually the people who listen to this show are smarter than me anyway. So here's Campbell's analysis of what the president said last night. Blah, 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 blah. Download our app that doesn't track your movements but will tell you of other people's movements being tracked. Blah, 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 blah. Level one, now you can go to gym, blah, blah, blah. Half a year of lockdown. Blah, 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 blah. You can fly to Mauritius in October. Blah, blah, blah. Download that app again. Blah, blah, blah. We have nice beaches, mountains, and wildlife parks. Blah, blah, blah. Curfew from 12, that's midnight, until 4 in the morning. You must sleep. Blah, 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 blah. Buy your pup suck on Friday instead. Blah, blah, blah. Interest rates were lekker. Blah, blah, blah. UIF. Blah, blah, blah. Government will contribute to a vaccine. Blah, blah, blah. Donations were made. Blah, blah, blah. Solidarity fund. $3 billion went to PPE. Ventilators. Blah, blah, blah. Food relief. Cigarettes used to cost 200 Rand. Violence on women and children is terrible and we must stop it. Blah, blah, blah. Corruption happened under my watch, but I can't do anything about it. Otherwise, I lose my seat and then some other guy will take over. Blah, blah, blah. Contracts have been published for the first time so that people can see where the 20 to 40% of your tax money goes. Blah, blah, blah. SARS and COVID is a tax and a virus and the same thing. And SARS is like a virus for our taxpayers. Blah, 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 blah. So that's what he said. That's according to Campbell. I think a very good summary of the president's speech. If you didn't watch it, that's more or less what you needed to know. Did we leave anything out?
Comprehensive.
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
It's perfect. So Campbell, thank you very much. And that is really the only headline that matters this morning. But let's look at one or two others just in case. That doctor who was accused of culpable homicide was reportedly shot dead in Johannesburg. Now, he is the co-accused in a case of culpable homicide, along with pediatric surgeon Dr. Peter Beal. Police spokesperson Brigadier Matapelo Peters confirmed a case of murder was being investigated after the shooting of the 57-year-old man on Wednesday afternoon by unknown suspects in Norwood. News 24 was on the scene hours after he was shot and spoke to witnesses who said they heard 4 gunshots before the suspects fled. One witness, who did not want to be identified, said a car had bumped into Munchie's vehicle, and when he got out, he was shot in the chest. Mm. Forensic officials say they were processing the scene. Now, it's interesting. This guy seems to have been shot in what appears to be revenge for a poor outcome, poor medical outcome. I think that this is probably the kind of thing that we need to have a little more outrage around. If it is the case that this was a revenge killing, because doctors don't always get it right, and it's not always their fault. You've got to accept that when you go to a doctor, they're not a miracle worker. Sometimes they can't save everybody, and sometimes mistakes are made, and sometimes those mistakes are their fault, yes, but sometimes they are not. And if it doesn't always go perfectly, that doesn't mean you get to kill the doctor, first of all. Second of all, you don't always get to sue the doctor. Of course, doctors try to be right all the time, but no human is infallible. And if it turns out that this guy was killed on purpose, in revenge for a bad outcome medically, then I think we need to see some people going to jail to set a very strong example, because otherwise no doctor's ever going to work on anyone again. Does that make sense?
Completely, and it's extremely worrying, because when you read some of the stories in ancient Greece, is doctors then, when they were cutting out things like cataracts, would have their arms chopped off if they got it wrong, especially if somebody was wealthier. So this is a return to...
And guess what happens when you cut off the doctor's arms if they don't get your cataracts right? They just...
No.
Like, first of all, they can't operate on you ever again because they don't have arms. And second of all, no one else wants to be a doctor. Like, the price is too high. I'm sorry.
100%. The other worrying thing is we do live largely in a scientifically illiterate society. Is we need to make something very clear. Is modern science is so new. It is still at such a gross, infantile stage that we're going to get a lot wrong. And by the way, scientists get 99% of things wrong inside a lab. When you see something come in public, that is the result of thousands of hours of getting things wrong.
Very little makes it a public. And let's be clear, nothing is 100%. You could go in for an operation on your little finger, and it could go really badly, and you could die. There is a small chance of that. You could go in for a very complicated operation on your heart or your brain or something else, and it could go perfectly. But it's not always the doctor's fault. There are a number of things that could happen.
Well, not to condone what has been done if it was an intended killing, but just to remind you that this story of this 10-year-old Zayan who passed away all came to light late in 2019. Mm-hmm. And the two doctors who were involved in this were actually suspended because even the hospital chain saw that how the two doctors dealt with this medical procedure was not to their standards. Like, this little boy had a collapsed lung during surgery.
No.
But the doctor still said like he was good to go.
Let's be clear. There are all kinds of checks and balances in medicine, and you can sue. And, you know, doctors have to take out incredible amounts of insurance. In fact, it costs them a fortune. It costs the insurance companies a fortune, because if doctors are guilty of malpractice or anything else, they can be taken down. And there are, you know, there's plenty of bodies that make sure, including the hospitals themselves, make sure that doctors are always working to their best ability. But let's also remember, there are a huge number of doctors in this country who work very long hours. And they're under a huge amount of pressure. And most of us would crack under that pressure.
Mm.
And yet we expect them to be superhuman.
My mother is one of three registered psychiatrists in the whole of Limpopo, by the way.
And there's a lot of crazy people in Limpopo. I mean,
oh, well.
That means 12,000 patients. She's seen 12,000 patients a day, and that's just hers.
Oop,
and by the way, she was gone for 20 years out the country. So you got to know there was a...
So make your point about your mum being one of those three.
My point is this, is that our doctors in particular are worked till the end. It is they got to be held to high standards. But my God, these people are trying.
If you want doctors, you can't, you must not be surprised when occasionally they do get it wrong, even if it's at your expense and it's a great tragedy in your family. Anyway, we've got to move on. The African National Congress in KwaZulu-Natal said it planned to address Zandile Gumede on the disappointing behavior of her supporters during her court appearance last Thursday in Durban. Gumede and 16 others face corruption charges linked to tender fraud to the tune of 400 million. And ANC KZN Secretary Dumisani Ntuli said that Gumede's supporters carried divisive and offensive placards at her last appearance. Some of these people were disowned by Comrade Zandile. She said to us, they are not my supporters. But what happened at the court is that she went out and addressed those people. And when she addressed them, she did not say to them, I appreciate your support during the difficulties I'm confronted with, but I condemn your conduct. The party said it would be guided by the Provincial Integrity Commission on its next steps towards Gumede, who's currently at home on leave while she faces criminal charges. So I don't know what kinds of placards people were holding up, but this Zandile Gumede is just poisonous, and her supporters are poisonous too. They're basically gangsters who are trying to maintain control over the levers of power, because that's the only way they will stay out of jail. And this is a great country to be in if you are a criminal, because you can become very important in the ruling party, and then you don't have to face prosecution. It's wonderful to be a criminal in South Africa. It really is. A diamond producer on Wednesday announced that they had found 5 blue stones considered to be among the world's rarest and most valuable at their mine in Cullinan. Petra Diamonds Limited and the Type 2B gems were discovered in the space of 1 week at the Cullinan mine. All 5 stones are individual, as opposed to being originally part of a larger diamond. Their sizes vary from 9.6 carats to 25.75 carats. Blue diamonds are so rare that there are no official statistics on their recovery. They said, noting that it was unusual to find 5 high-quality stones around the same time. That's pretty amazing. And these are beautiful. They're like light blue, but they're diamonds, not tanzanite, you know. It's that sort of color, but it's light blue. It's not the dark blue of tanzanite or of sapphire. It's much more aquamarine in color, but they're diamonds, so they will sparkle like you can't believe. And Bulelo, you know this. Diamonds are made of just one thing. It's the same stuff in the lead in your pencil. Carbon. Straight up carbon. It's how the crystal structure of those atoms works that makes it either diamond or graphite. And who knew that carbon, which is one of the most common elements on the planet, would be the most valuable?
Who knew indeed? It's the only way you can show somebody you love them.
Yeah, so if you want to look up these blue diamonds, it's pretty amazing. They're gorgeous looking diamonds. I'm sure they're going to sell for a pretty price. Maybe Pinky can even get one as an engagement ring. All depends how much.
No pressure.
It's all about how much he loves you, Pinky, you know?
I'll remember that.
That's what women say.
Pinky, just send him this link.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, it's not you, Barrett said it.
And then even if it doesn't all work out, you've got a really expensive diamond you could sell. All right. Rights, you've got to be practical, man. Rights watchdog Amnesty International called for an independent probe into the killing of a naked pregnant woman by men in military uniform in Mozambique's Restive North, an atrocity that the government blamed on jihadist rebels. Video footage emerged this week showing men in army uniform beating a woman they accused of being an insurgent and then pumping bullets into her. Can you imagine? In army uniform. The amnesty call came as the government in Maputo blamed the killing on militants who have waged a violent insurgency in the gas-rich Cabo Delgado province for 3 years. The authorities in Mozambique must immediately launch an independent and impartial investigation into the extrajudicial killing of a defenseless woman, Amnesty International said. So Mozambique coming under some pressure to investigate this ugly and atrocious situation. There's some real barbarians around, aren't there? There really are just such barbarians. I mean, who would do that to somebody? And then while we're on the continent, more than 200 prisoners have escaped from a jail in the northeast of Uganda. Oh, they're probably coming here. Like I said, this is a good place for criminals. So just stand by. They reportedly killed a soldier after they broke out of a facility.
Bless you.
Yes, I haven't had a sneeze on the show for some time. Aren't you lucky?
Be gone, evil. Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Special treat for a Thursday morning.
The devil has left you.
Those are the things you need to know this morning. Some very cool stuff. All right.
Sure. 200 prisoners is basically the whole prison, isn't it?
Yes, the whole prison. Oh. It's a lot of people. But don't worry, they'll be here soon, adding value to our economy by redistributing our wealth.
How do 200 prisoners, like, start running out of a building and no one notices?
No, I think they overpowered the guards. That's what always happens. Mm. We had a new episode of So What Now? It will be available online today if you missed it on ENCA last night. It also gets repeated on ETV. Our ratings are very good on ETV as well, by the way. We had a look at those the other day. It's looking... Mwah.
That's awesome.
Yeah, very good.
Ooh, hey. Ooh.
Apparently, lots of people watching the show, so that's very good news. And if you missed it, we had a thoroughly interesting conversation with Maj Touré from America, from Zubi in Britain, and with Mighty Jamie here in South Africa about black culture. Is there such a thing as a unified black culture, or are there many different black cultures, and what brings them all together? It can't just be skin pigmentation, right? Because also, where are the borders between the races? How come Mariah Carey can claim to be black? Or Barack Obama can claim to be black? And they've got as much white in them as they do black. That's always an interesting conversation. And people get all antsy and uncomfortable. That's why we decided to deal with it. So go and take a look at that show if you want to see what the gentleman on the panel had to say about it, because I think it'll be interesting and will not waste any of your time. Got some interesting emails about the classic movies. Remember, I said that I've started this thing where I watch classic movies on a Sunday, and it's really cool. And I've watched Indiana Jones, the trilogy there, and watched Predator and Aliens. And there are a couple here that are quite cool. You want to see them? The list that was sent through. This has been sent by Gabriella. She says her husband and she love watching classic movies. He's in his early 40s and I'm in my early 30s, so between us we have loved working through movies from the 80s and 90s. He's a doctor, I'm a teacher, so lockdown has been pretty crazy. Watching classic movies is a great way to de-stress and connect. Huh. There we go. We're getting that from a lawyer and a doctor, so I can't be so stupid with my idea about classic movies. So
a teacher. She's a teacher, not a lawyer.
Sorry.
She's more important than a lawyer.
Yeah? Absolutely. Everyone's more important than lawyers.
That's going down while we're thinking.
Pinky, what do you say to that? Don't you like that?
I was waiting for her to bubble up.
I pick my battles.
But Pinky, you know that we have an oversupply of lawyers, right?
Yeah, I do know that.
I mean, how much work is there per lawyer in South Africa? They're just
And what did Mbulula say earlier about the taking offense? Yeah, so I like that.
Really made a mark on you if you can't remember.
She's already decided not to take offense and certainly not to think that she's right. Okay, so here's some movies that you might want to watch. Home Alone, both of those. American President, Cocktail, Back to the Future, Mrs. Doubtfire, Three Men and a Baby, Pearl Harbor, Toy Soldiers, A Few Good Men, Coming to America, Copycat, Jerry Maguire, My Best Friend's Wedding, The Bodyguard, Men of Honor, Karate Kid, Braveheart, Shawshank Redemption, Backdraft, City Slickers. I love those. Basic Instinct.
Backdraft.
Backdraft's good too.
Kurt Russell.
The Green Mile. That's also amazing. So there we go. Thanks, Gabriella. Some suggestions. All right.
Comprehensive list.
Jeez, we're moving fast this morning. There's hardly any time. I was going to unpack more about this. This very age-old, it's become like the Arab-Israeli conflict with James Coke and Bulelo, but we seem to be out of time. You know who we need? We need to organize a Camp David Accord between the two of you, and then maybe we will have peace finally in our time.
But the fact that Pinky recorded it secretly says a lot about her personality. That's one we had. That's an aspect we haven't looked at.
Pinky was
wasn't trying to.
That's why she's a lawyer.
It wasn't a secret. I mean, I had the phone right there, but they really were so caught up in the mess and the shouting that they didn't notice.
By the way, no shouting from me. I'm happy to say that. But just before we sign off, and I think that this is an exercise for everybody to do. You know, truth is such a difficult thing if you don't approach it from, in a philosophical sense, is you're always looking for maxims of truth. And there are four different types of truth that you can think about that'll keep you calmer, right? Is we have what they call personal, we have our human truth, we have societal truth, and universal truth. Now, people can go and look those up. But if you divide them when you're looking at any situation into those four at all times, it helps me stay calm. And and really alleviates a lot of tension in my life.
Give me some examples of, or one example of each kind of truth, just because none of us are going to look this up. We're all too lazy.
Personal, strawberry ice cream is the best ice cream.
Okay.
Right?
Personal truth. Cool.
All right. So human truth is my God is the only, the right God. As a human being, I perceive the world, I take that in like that.
Mm-hmm. So it's right? like a communal type truth. Of, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So that's your human truth. And then you get your societal truth. The Swiss we are an efficient, industrious people. So that you get from
a
collective consciousness. And then you get your universal truth, gravity, genetics, H2O, those that are what we might call...
I'm still having some trouble differentiating between human, personal, and societal, but I'll figure that out in my own time. That'll be my homework for today. Thank you very much, Bulela. All right. Oh, Jesus. The show turns
Mulelo,
I always think the show ends at 8, but it doesn't.
Oh, no. Correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like you govern your life and being by universal truths.
No, I think that's not a good way to live. Nothing is absolute. No life is worth living, especially with human beings. Nobody's perfect. And if you start to think you're perfect, that's when I would be going against my own standards. Is I'm extremely fallible. I make a whole lot of mistakes. So I have to be sensitive to, I always presume to, hey, what could you have done better? And generally, I like to do that without feedback. What could I have done better in a situation? But let me extricate myself from the emotion, and then I can always come back and correct that. And to finish off on earlier, I'm always willing to put up with the consequences of my actions. So I never, ever look for to hide anywhere. And even in that situation, whether you like it or not, I'll never run for the consequences of my actions. And
if you were hiding in Greg's office.
All right. Please, can we leave this great battle behind us?
But right now, the way Mbulelo's making it out, it sounds like your wedding vows would be so romantic.
No wedding.
I promise to take you today, but tomorrow I might not like you. Next week, let's see what happens. But divorce is an option.
Let me stop you there. I'll stop you there, even if it's hypothetical. I've always said, get married is we can go to the court, and she can be back at her lunchtime meeting afterwards. There we go.
All right. Enough about Mbulelo, but here are some interesting points. Let's do one more. So many messages about you. He's going to get such an enormous self-esteem boost after this. Joe says, Mbulelo is a really important voice and balance in the mix of the show. I miss him being on daily, but it makes the times he is on more interesting. He's really smart, and you should all form a political party. You have plenty of votes, and it would be amazing if you ended up running the country. Well, I think Mbulelo would be a dangerous dictator, frankly. But okay, thanks, Joe. Then this came through.
Yeah, I think terrible.
Dr. Robin says, medics, we are fallible. I'm exhausted by the quest for zero defect every day. I'm exhausted by how much I have to explain my fallibility to my patients. Insurance for me is over 1 million rand. I'm exhausted trying to earn enough to cover that overhead. Yeah, you see, this is the problem for a lot of doctors. And read the doctors. Kala says, gynees who still do childbirth have to pay in excess of 100,000 rand a month in liability insurance, especially for CP cases. This has caused many of the best gynees to just refuse to do childbirths. Yeah, it's no picnic, man. Everyone's job has got some really hard, really difficult parts to it. And here... Mbululu, you are a hypocrite. You've referred to your mom as not being a real doctor.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'd say that to her face. That was more just between me and her trying to put her in her place.
Ooh, I would slap you to next week.
Apparently, blue and pink diamonds are the most expensive diamonds per carat due to their rarity, according to Elaine. The Smithsonian Museum has an eye-popping collection of colored diamonds, including the massive heart-shaped Hope Diamond. I could stand and stare at it for hours. Yeah, I do love those precious stones. They're beautiful. I mean, it's just mesmerizing. I'm a 95 baby, and I still believe Braveheart's the greatest movie. And, by the way, Mbulelo is spitting truth. That's from Dato. Nice. Bulelo is a cool guy to have on the show because he's smart and a straight talker. I've always wondered, though, is he a Marxist? Well, he's definitely a leftist. Are you a Marxist?
100%.
Jesus, it's time.
And that can, and that, that comes in a modern version as well. Not only capitalists can evolve ideologies.
How can you be so clever and be a Marxist? Let me tell you a quick story, and this will explain why. You know, you talk about truth. So, Imabulaleyo, I want you to listen to this now, and I want you to take offense, okay? Because obviously you'd be right if you took offense.
Sure, absolutely.
Even if the bee could explain to the fly why pollen is better than shit, the fly would not understand. And that is like explaining why capitalism is better than socialism to a Marxist.
And I mean, of course, that's always going to be the argument. With whenever it's a capitalist turn to argue, you always go to the extremes of the Marxist spectrum. You never presume, you can have a 21st century Marxist.
Give me the example.
Of?
Anywhere in the world where a soft Bulelo version of Marxism has led to not deaths and depravity and misery and equal poverty.
So, once again, I mean, to think that Marxism as it exists in my mind is the same as when Engels and Marx wrote their great work is insane. Because I don't come to you as a capitalist and say, hey, are you the Dutch East India Company and that's how you want to operate a neoliberal
capitalism? You don't have to, because capitalism has pulled more people out of poverty than any other system in human history. You know
nobody's ever argued that. Nobody's ever argued
that. The jury's in. All you have on your Marxist plate is death. It's extremely. I do not find this a subject fit for humor, actually.
Well, that is ridiculous to suggest that in the name of capitalism, death isn't on. I mean, just the notion of we're talking about diamonds. Nothing's perfect.
Bulelo, the system, capitalism is a voluntary system. It is always voluntary. Nobody is forced at gunpoint to part with their goods. Otherwise, that's not capitalism. And no one is forced to accept goods at gunpoint. If I decide to trade with you, that's between me and you. I don't need the government to enforce anything. So different is Marxism that your entire purpose is to reconstitute society by new rules. Rules laid down by Marx and Engels. Rules which have led to upwards of 100 million people in the ground right now that should not have been killed, that were killed by state violence as a result of social engineering. This is not funny to me.
All right, so we must always be careful, all right? So this is always the argument. So we must always be careful to confuse, right?
I'm saying very careful. I've been very serious about this one point. In the whole morning, this is the only thing I've been serious about.
No, sure. You're entitled to what careful. You feel.
You started laughing at the idea that there are 100 million people dead because of this idea. This ideology.
I find it outrageous to suggest that only Marxism as an economic system has killed. But okay, you can, if that's your view, fine. Like whatever, go
directly
go
attributable. Yes,
yeah, sure. If I mean, we can have our own truth.
We'll save this for another day.
Another day, perhaps.
I like arguing with you as much as I like laughing with you.
Fair enough.
All right, let's get on with it because we do have burning platforms and other things. What was that?
Pambi.
Pambi.
No, I said Pambi.
Okay, let's go.
Four.
It is 7 o'clock, which means, well, it's just after 7 o'clock. So we've got the Burning Platform coming up next with Nando's. And, of course, Canthan Pillay. We're going to be joined this morning by Ivor Chipkin. I think you're going to be very interested to hear from him. He is the founder of the Public Affairs Research Institute at Wits University. He today runs South Africa's first global think tank on government. It's called the GAPP, and we're going to hear from him. You can get hold of us if you'd like to join in the conversation on 0797482090. Plenty of things to talk about. If you are interested in getting involved in the Burning Platform, you can also always email me. It's easier to do that. You can do so on gareth@cliffcentral.com. Let me know what you're up to, and let me know what you think. And during the course of the Burning Platform, we'll pose your questions to our panel. CliffCentral.com.